Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this Thursday, March 19th. Joining me in studio this morning, Jane Wilkie, Lutheran Senior Services. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Andy, and welcome back to you.
Thank you. It's good to be back and to be healthy today.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's always a good thing. I think it's one of those situations where it's all relative. After you experience a day of being ill, then you just are much more grateful for feeling good.
And you know, having a day or two like that, knowing that it could be much longer, I'm very grateful that it wasn't that long. So.
And your family, too,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
you might as well, the family that gets sick together stays together, I guess. I don't know.
I know. I'm not sure which is worse. Everybody being sick at the same time and trying to figure out how to take care of each other, or each person having it individually and then it stretches on for weeks.
Well, that is true. That is true. It all depends on the way that you look at it. Well, today I thought we would start to talk about some of those big picture signs. If you remember last week, we talked in general about just taking a look at the definitions of the different levels of care that are available. You know, of course, at Lutheran Senior Services, we call them senior living communities. Another name for them is continuing care retirement communities. That's a name that's around in the quote unquote industry, as I just did air quotes that nobody could see.
For all who are watching.
That's right, for all who are watching my air quotes. But you know, just all those different levels, we call it independent living, assisted living, long-term care, skilled nursing, short-term rehabilitation, memory care. And I know that a lot of the listeners really probably find themselves in the time of life either that they themselves are sitting there and thinking, is this something I should be looking into? But also many of us that are of a certain age that may have aging loved ones. Maybe it's our parents. Maybe it's our grandparents. Maybe it's a favorite aunt or uncle. Maybe it's a neighbor that perhaps never got married and relies a lot on the neighbors that live around them. Maybe it's someone in your congregation, your church. Maybe there's a parish nurse listening that wonders whether or not as she or he ministers to congregants, whether or not what are some of the signs to look for? So I thought today we would look at some of the big picture signs. And then next week, we might take a look at some of the individual things, but big picture, big picture. And actually, this is not original. I do want to give credit to the source. I did actually just Googled signs it might be time for assisted living. So that is always that help out there, that if you are struggling with what to look for, there is so much information out there. And of course, I would urge you always to look it over, to compare it, but always to also just make that appointment to visit. You can get a lot of your questions answered. And what seems to be so overwhelming becomes a little bit more palatable and easier to understand when you see. And also, before going into the signs, I wanted to mention that a lot of people confuse the term assisted living with their view of the traditional old-time nursing homes. So much has changed. So the first thing I want to differentiate is that even in many of the nursing homes that exist, and of course, my firsthand experiences through Lutheran Senior Services, that a lot of it has changed over the years. Many of the providers of long-term care through traditional nursing homes are flipping that a little bit around, and it's less like the long hallways and the hospitals, and much more engaging, much more opportunities for personalizing the care to the residents, and a lot more attention, making it more of a home-like environment. So even for that long-term care, 24-hour skilled nursing professional need, so much has changed. If you've not been in a nursing home for a lot of years, I would urge anyone to visit any of our long-term care, our care centers. But for assisted living, that's not the same thing. So when you think about having a loved one consider assisted living, that loved one may well say, well, I'm not ready for the nursing home. Well, absolutely you're not. So the whole idea behind assisted living is that you simply need some assistance with two or three activities of daily living. Maybe it's some chores around the house. Maybe it's personal grooming. Maybe it's medication assistance. Maybe it's just for the cooking or making your own meals. Mm-hmm. Just something that just alerts you to the fact that some additional assistance, having someone there 24/7 available, is a good thing. Having all three of your meals done for you. The social aspect, the social engagement, especially if you've lost loved ones, you are living alone, mm-hmm. family lives away. Apartments. So you can have your one bedroom apartment. You can have, in some cases, there are shared suites. But there's just that built in companionship. And so assisted living is so much different than the traditional view of the nursing home. And it is something that I would urge people to look into as that first step. So here's some of the big picture things that on the site that I found. One is to just kind of keep the big red flags in mind is exactly what it says. So there are some things that you can see that kind of make it obvious that it's time to start looking at mm-hmm. some alternatives for living. So they list things like recent accidents or close calls. Did your loved one take a fall, have a medical scare, or get in a fender bender or worse? Who responded? How long did it take? You know, accidents do happen, mm-hmm. it mentions, but as people get older, the odds rise of them happening again. How about a slow recovery? So perhaps someone that you're caring for or that is in your family had a recent illness, maybe a bad flu, a bad cold. You know, what happened? Did the recovery time seem longer than usual? Did they seek the medical help right. that they really needed? Or did it really develop into the cold became untreated bronchitis and got much, much worse? Is there a chronic health condition that seems to be getting worse? Progressive problems such as COPD, maybe dementia, some memory issues, congestive heart failure. Some of those can decline gradually, and then all of a sudden they may start declining much more quickly. So either way, the increasing need for someone to help take care, many are not going to ask for that care. They may be getting worse. They may not want to bother you. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be a burden. So take notice. Watch. If you know that someone is dealing with those chronic health conditions, do take notice. And then, again, as I mentioned before, it'd be that increasing difficulty of taking care of they call them ADLs, activities of daily living. So just taking care of yourself and taking care of your daily needs. Are they cooking? Are they skipping mm-hmm. meals? Is there weight loss? Is there a weight gain? So I really hadn't thought about that particular one until I read this article. And it was talking about how I always kind of thought about weight loss because if someone's sure. not really cooking or eating, either they are forgetting or they do not want to put the effort in. Perhaps they haven't taken the time to get out into the grocery store. Maybe the weather has prevented it, or maybe they are worried about driving. Again, they don't want to bother you, so they may not have a lot of the right food in the house, so they may just start skipping meals. A lot of different things go into this, but I always just associated that with weight loss.
Sure.
But as I read the article, it was really pointing out that sometimes, especially the effort of making the meals gets easier by just simply eating a lot of the processed foods, mm-hmm. a lot of the boxed foods, a lot of the processed foods, a lot of the junk food. It's just easier. And perhaps the lack of companionship, being alone a lot, has led to some depression. And that depression may lead to not really wanting to make that effort. So what are some of those changes? What are some of those basic changes that are big picture thinking? Next week, we'll take a look at some of the up close signs that you might actually, as you take a look at that individual person, their environment, mm-hmm. what they're doing on a daily basis, some clues that you can get that might also alert you to time to look into it and just visit.
Sure. I'm glad that you brought up that quite often loved ones just don't want to burden you, don't want to bother you mm-hmm. with that. And we've talked about that a couple of times on Faith and Family. And that's, I think, just an important conversation to have as a family early on to point out that it's not necessarily a burden. It's important to take care mm-hmm. of each other. Yeah.
Well, I found it interesting. I had a conversation with a gentleman earlier this week who was sharing that his mom initiated the phone call to just kind of take a look at it. It was actually for Heisinger Bluffs in Jefferson City. And in that particular case, she had moved away and moved back. He lives in Jefferson City, but he has three sisters and they all live around the country. And she just shared with him that she wanted to be proactive. She did not want to have a crisis happen someday. Mm-hmm. Because if that crisis happens, then two things can often be the result. Your options are more limited. Mm-hmm. And the second is, when you're in the middle of that crisis, you are so overwhelmed by all the emotional aspects of the crisis that you don't really think through all of the various options. So being proactive, taking a look at it. But he said what his comment was he said it was such a gift to me, because he said my sisters don't even realize it. They live away, but they don't realize either that when you are that person that lives mm-hmm. closest, that was just truly a gift. He considered that mm-hmm. a true gift, because he said now, you know, his mom is independent. He said, but now she's ready. So if that health changes, mm-hmm. she's got that assisted living or that memory care or that long-term care. She falls and breaks a hip if she needs a knee replaced, if she has a surgery or a long-term recovery after hospitalization, that short-term rehabilitation is right there. He just considered it a true gift.
Sure.
So if you're a listener who is at that point in your life that you may want to be proactive, to take a look at asking the questions. If you have a loved one that you want to start exploring for, I would just urge you to visit our website, lssliving.org. Google other things, what to look for. Mm-hmm. Look at your options. Make a visit. Call someone up. Ask the questions. That's what we're there for.
Sure. Very good.
So my devotional thought for today, I was thinking back on that whole idea of looking back in the past. And I just had an opportunity this week. As I've mentioned to some before, my sister is dealing with a recurrence of lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And it was really interesting. We are waiting for her to have a stem cell transplant. And yesterday we received the news that, yes, she can use her own stem cells, but in order to pump them up, in order to make them higher quality, she needs to go through yet one more round of chemotherapy. Mm. And so it's just one more round of that, what goes with that, and then, of course, facing getting ill again with the stem cell transplant. And I was amazed in talking with her last night. She's in Minnesota. I'm here in St. Louis. And so we can only talk by phone. But I thought about how the resiliency of faith and that whole idea of trusting and waiting on the Lord. And I think about many of the older adults that I encounter through Lutheran Senior Services, I encounter in my life, the heroes of faith that have been part of my life, of that, where do we find that strength and that resiliency? I was thinking about that this morning as I drove in. And, you know, I thought about the Psalms, and I thought so many times, I think back to my mom and her walk with cancer, and I think about how she relied so much on the Psalms, because those Psalms, the psalmists found ways to really speak emotion, ask questions, speak emotion, speak the language of faith, yet frame it within a reverence and a love and an honor for God, mm-hmm. the Father, who listens. So I thought about that, and I thought in my lifetime, Psalm 23 has been just one that I continue to go through. And it was a close psalm to us when my sister who has previously passed away from cancer, but she was in a car accident when she was 18, very serious car accident, head-on collision from an inebriated driver, unconscious for 2 weeks. When my parents would go in to see her, they would recite the Lord's Prayer and they would say Psalm 23. When she woke up out of the coma, she remembered that. So Psalm 23 has become that psalm for us. And I find myself sharing that with my sister as well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So all of us have those Bible verses, have those psalms. As we age, as we grow older, let's not forget to keep going back to them. Because every time we do, we have a new life experience and it brings new meaning. God's word is rich for us. So I just urge today, the listeners, urge you today, just open up the psalms, find one that speaks to you.
Very good. Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome.
We'll talk again next week. God's blessings. Have a good week. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with Ted Kober, president of Ambassadors of Reconciliation. Stick around for more of his time right after this.